Congressman Greg Landsman accomplished something no other Democrat has been able to achieve in decades. He won re-election in Ohio's first congressional district in an election where Republicans kept control of the House, gained control of the Senate, and won the presidency. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Congressman Greg Landsman joins me now to talk about what he thinks his party needs to learn from voters and the work ahead. Welcome back, Congressman Landsman.
Well, thanks for having me.
You won your second term in the House. As I mentioned, you're the first Democrat to win re-election in the first district in decades. What do you think made the difference for voters?
I think most voters want normal, you know, pragmatic bipartisan leaders, and especially at a time when things feel broken and folks are struggling, there's a real sense that you know, things are going to have to change. You're going to have people who appreciate that the economy is a mess for most working people, and you know, that's tough for some to understand, because you know, we think about the economy in terms of unemployment rates, which are down, you know, in inflation, you know, which has started to come down, and you know, GDP, and there's been strong growth, but most people are thinking about their bank accounts and that balance in their bank accounts, and because you have it on your phone now, your bank account, you're spending one more time thinking about that bank account and the fact that you don't have as much in there as you need in terms of paying all your bills, but also because we have our heads in our phone, we're seeing all these other people living it up, and you know, it's a frustration that I think is widely felt. And if they know that you're on their side, I don't take corporate PAC money. I'm deeply rooted in people's lives and work. I'm all over the district when we're home, and you know, I think people know whether they voted for me or not that I care about them. And I think that's what matters most. And so, you know, I hope that is more of what we see nationally on both sides, is, you know, just people being normal and trying to solve problems and understand that, you know, the chaos and sort of extremism and cruelty of politics right now is not getting us anywhere. In fact, it's hurting us. And those who peddle in it, you know, should find something else to do. And those who are, you know, pretty serious about the work should keep going.
You know, a lot of people thought the presidential race would be really close, and it just wasn't. Why do you think Democrats lost the presidential election?
I think people want to change. You know, they're frustrated with it. You know, again, they're frustrated with the economy and the politics. And, you know, Trump represented, you know, for a majority of voters, change in a way that Kamala Harris didn't. I thought and still believe that Harris would be exactly what we need in terms of fixing what's broken about the economy. And this is what's going to be frustrating about the next couple of years, that I do think it's clear more people wanted Trump. However, I don't think they want the chaos and the extremism and the cruelty that is oftentimes part of his rhetoric. I don't think, you know, they want the system to continue to be rigged for the, you know, the super wealthy and the powerful. And so what I'm worried about is an erosion of oversight, further erosion of oversight, where, you know, companies can do whatever they want and consumers, you know, get higher prices and fewer choices. And, you know, they're going to, you know, pass a tax, you know, cut plan where the vast majority of the benefits go to the super wealthy. I mean, I have said since the election, and I've always felt this way, but I think this is an important marker to lay down, which is 100% of any tax relief should go to working people and middle class families and small businesses. And you know, in the last Trump tax scheme, I would say, 86% of the benefits went to the top 1% of wage earners. I don't think that's what people who voted for him want.
President-elect Trump is making quick work of his cabinet picks. He's talking about Matt Gaetz for AG and Pete Hegseth for the Defense Department. And now he's asking the Senate to recess so that he can make these recess appointments without going through the confirmation process in the Senate. Do you think the Senate will do that? Do you think the Senate will grant that request?
I don't know. I mean, this is a huge question for them. And while it doesn't seem like it would affect our lives, having somebody at justice at the Justice Department, and keep in mind this is where the FBI and the CIA live, that wants to just burn it all down, federal law enforcement, that is very problematic in terms of the rule of law and you know what would happen to individual liberties, particularly those who may disagree with the administration. So I think it's a huge worry. There is a tie that binds with many of these appointments, with Tulsi Gabbard and at intelligence, the appointment at defense, Gates, Elon Musk. They all have close ties or have very questionable relationships with folks in Russia, and in particular Vladimir Putin. So the question is there a Russian influence here, and Putin that could be hugely problematic, not just for Ukraine and Eastern Europe, but for us. They want to weaken us, and I'm very worried about that. Mm-hmm.
I'm talking with Congressman Greg Landsman, who won re-election in Ohio's 1st District, and we're talking about what's next for Democrats and for his work in the House. Congressman Landsman, what role do you think Democrats will have in this administration?
Well, my hope is that this is a big moment for the center-left, those of us who have been participating in what I call the pragmatic middle. You know, there's a bunch of us, in fact, I think the majority of us in the in the House are very eager to work together. There are obviously people who are more partisan, but most of us want to work together. And so I think there will be a lot of opportunities for us to take for them, because they have the decision to take a bipartisan path and get a vote where 300-350 of us support the legislation. And as a result, you're going to have a better outcome. It's just, it's going to be more serious policy, and it's going to help more people, as opposed to something that's hyper-partisan that could really do damage. And my hope is that, the speaker realizes that in this Congress, it was the bipartisan majority of us that got him or got the previous speaker through the default crisis, situation, and we got a deal, and we didn't default on our debt, and which would have sent the global economy and our economy into chaos. We were the ones that got the reauthorization done for the national defense work, the FAA, which puts more air traffic controllers in the towers. We were the ones that got the national security and global aid stability bill done. We were the ones that got a budget deal done. We were the ones that put together the bipartisan border agreement and fix. So, Tuesday night, we were the ones that passed the Social Security Fairness Act, which is going to make a huge difference if the Senate passes it for 150,000-160,000 public retirees in Ohio who don't get all their benefits, like up to $2,000 a month would be going into their pockets. These are people that served us as teachers and firefighters and police officers. So, my hope is that they appreciate that the big things we got done in the 118th. Is reason enough to say, look, this is a better path than something hyperpartisan.
Axios reported you're seeking a Democratic leadership position in the House. What position are you seeking and why?
Yeah, there's a battleground chair role that allows me to sort of pull those of us who are in competitive districts together and make sure that the messaging is good coming out of the party, so that working people know that this is their crew, and people understand that we're gonna get prescription drug prices down, and we're gonna fight for our democracy and freedom and the things that they deeply, deeply care about, and ensure that that, you know, the more extreme folks or the more partisan folks aren't driving the messaging and the legislative priorities. I do believe that this is a moment, as I've said over and over and over again, a moment for the center left and the center right to really lead, and the country's going to need us.
What are your priorities going to be in this, in your next term in Congress?
So we have, hopefully in this term, we get the Social Security Act, Fairness Act through the Senate. We got it through the House. I really want to make sure this gets done. I want to make sure that we're doing a whole host of things to lower costs and just, you know, so build more housing, which will help bring down the cost of housing. We have a renter relief bill that we are working on that will help folks who are paying for higher rents. We have a bill that would reduce prescription drug prices for folks on Medicare. We want to see that across the board by reforming what are called pharmacy benefit managers. These are middle intermediaries that buy and sell prescription drugs on behalf of Medicare or private health insurance companies, and they take a huge cut, and it's at the expense of our seniors and or, you know, folks just buying their prescription drugs. So it's a way to reduce prescription drug prices. So it's across the board, you know, price stuff, because, again, people are worried about their bank accounts, and the more we can do to get wages up and costs down, the happier they're going to be about their bank accounts, and it's going to be easier for them to pay their bills. That plus, you know, I want to keep pushing on the reforms to our democracy, which are all about power and who has the power. Is it you know, the super wealthy and the billionaires of you know, society, or is it us? And so that means, you know, ending voter suppression. It means getting rid of partisan gerrymandering. It means getting dark money out of politics so every single dollar is traceable and we know who's doing it. And of course, I think we're going to have to be a firewall to protect folks and their freedoms.
Are you optimistic you can get that done, considering the huge wins that Republicans had on Election Day?
Yeah, so I mean, optimism is a interesting thing. One, I think it's a choice, and so I choose to be optimistic. It gives me more energy. I think it, you know, and you got to have energy for these kind of fights. And I don't mean fights in a bad way. I mean that these are really important moments where you got to have folks who believe in our democracy and having people, not, you know, having the masses make the decision as opposed to the mega millionaires and billionaires, right? And the same is true for our freedom. I think the vast majority of people believe in individual freedoms, and they don't want government or politicians messing with our freedoms. And so, you know, yeah, I do. I'm optimistic that there's going to be enough of us on both sides of the aisle that push back against any attempt to take away freedoms or more of them. So, you know, I could be wrong, but again, I choose to be optimistic because that's where I get my energy, you know?
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk about a national abortion ban. President-elect Trump did say in October he would veto a national abortion ban. But what do you think is at stake for Ohio's reproductive rights protections with this new administration taking office?
We don't know. So, you know, that's why issue one was so important to pass. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, Congress can chip away at reproductive freedom. I mean, access to abortion services is one aspect of reproductive freedom, right? I mean, access to birth control and you know, other reproductive health care. And there shouldn't be a gray area. And there's a bit of a gray area in Ohio because, you know, doctors don't want to get arrested. And so, you know, is everyone getting the care they need? And the answer is, I'm not entirely sure. And I think we're going to have to go from, you know, well, will there be a national abortion ban, which is possible, to we have got to, you know, get rid of these really draconian and deadly restrictions on reproductive health care, because, you know, women are dying and it can't happen. It just can't happen.
President-elect Trump has also talked a lot about undoing some of the Biden administration's climate policies. What's at stake with climate, in your view?
The planet. I mean, not to be, I mean, that's it. It's the planet and your pocketbook, right? I mean, yeah, the getting away from all of the things that are killing this planet, it's going to take a lot of time and it's hard work. And it requires really smart, I think pragmatic people to come together and make sure that, you know, people are able to buy the cars they want, but that also it's really inexpensive to get a hybrid or an EV. And so you still have choice, but you're moving towards something that's going to save you a ton of money and hopefully save, and well, we know, absolutely, save the planet. We've got to invest in carbon capture and all these other technologies. But yeah, they're gonna undo a bunch of it. And they're gonna say, hey, this is because we want to make it easier for you. It's really, you know, because of the amount of money, I mean, billions and billions of dollars that that big oil and gas companies poured into a lot of these races. And again, this is why I don't take corporate PAC money, and I think everyone should stop taking corporate PAC money. You don't work for the oil companies. You work for people, and people need us to give them all the options and do so in a way that, in this case, saves the planet for our kids and their kids, and, you know, starts to reduce these severe weather events, so that, you know, in Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, you're talking about sewer backups all the time, which is costly to us. You know, like a sewer backup for a family, that's a couple, that, you know, that can be a couple grand. It could be tens of thousands of dollars. You know, we had to spend almost $20 million to fix the hillside on Columbia Parkway. If you remember that, because of severe weather events, they just, the hill kept, you know, sliding into traffic. And it was about $19, $20 million that we spent to, you know, fortify that retaining wall. It's expensive. So, you know, you're either solving the problem or you're making it worse. And you know, the fear is they're going to make it a lot worse.
I know you've been a member of the Bipartisan House Problem Solvers Caucus. You've talked a lot about bipartisan cooperation as a way to get things done. The country just seems so divided right now. You think that can happen?
Yes. I don't know how divided the country is. The country went and voted, and, you know, they, you know, half of the people picked one group and half of the people picked another group. And it was more than half, a little more than half, but it's pretty close. But I don't think that's representative of, like, our shared values. I do believe that the vast majority, if you look at the polling on issues, we're not that divided. Most people want, you know, voting rights for everyone. Most people want to end to gerrymandering. Most people want dark money out. They don't want this. They don't want the influence of, like, a few billionaires and having that sort of determine our, you know, what happens in our lives. They want reproductive freedom. They don't want these laws that are going to get people hurt. They want people to, you know, fix the border and deal with immigration, but they want to do it in a pragmatic way that actually does secure the border and gets us on a path to, you know, real immigration reform and genuine, you know, legal pathways that make sense for our economy and for people. You know, even on the issue of gun violence, the majority of people want law enforcement to be able to go and get in front of a judge and say, hey, we don't think this person should have a weapon, let alone an AR-15, a military grade weapon. And that judge be like, sure, okay, well, let's be safe and make sure that they don't have those weapons. You know, people want to, you know, close a whole host of loopholes that make it super easy for, you know, folks to just flood our communities with guns. I think the majority of people, when and the last thing I'll say, look at polling on the economy and taxes. You know, making the super wealthy pay all their taxes like the rest of us is one of the most popular things in America. And so I don't think we're that divided. I think we're our elections are a little less representative of just how much we have in common and what we'll ultimately together fight for. I do believe that.
Well, I've been talking with Congressman Greg Landsman, a Democrat representing Ohio's 1st District. Thank you so much for your time today, Congressman Landsman.
Thank you, Lucy.
Up next, we'll get tips from local chefs about resourceful cooking in the kitchen. This is Cincinnati Edition.